Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
I guess that'll do. It's a Monday, and I know I don't have like normal Mondays, like a lot of people have Mondays, but it's acting like a Monday. It's acting like a Monday to me. So let's get the show started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle. The other guy you're about to see is Manny. And if my audio is a little bit weird today, I'm having some microphone issues. And I'm using a puny little shotgun mic. That
oh my God, it's not that
not
big of a deal.
As far away as I wish it could in order to sound decent. So yeah, there it is. Please hit the subscribe button. It's not always red because dark mode and things like that. But hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Follow us on your favorite podcast app. And social media information in the screen in front of your description box down below. LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions, including all these great podcasts and reactions and all of that. You know, something we didn't do, Manny, because we haven't really had a Monday in a few weeks, but something we never did was guess what we thought Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania would do box office wise. And since it's, you know, box office Monday, we get to talk about what it did do. Did you have a thought in your mind? Like, I was thinking maybe like 90 to 110, but I don't think I ever said it out loud.
I was at about a 115.
Okay. So somewhere between us, it actually did hit. Yeah. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, as of right now, has an estimated $104 million week intake, which isn't too bad. I mean, it wasn't exactly what I think they would hope for, but it's not a bad take, man. Especially when you look at the early critic reviews, early reception. I mean, it got a B from CinemaScore, and yeah, the population seems to be a lot like you and I, somewhere in the B's, you know, B, mm-hmm. B-, B+, man. But $104 million, Avatar, Way of Water takes the third place spot from Titanic. Yep. in the records. What was the whole weekend? $140 million for the whole weekend, of which Ant-Man and the Wasp made up $104 million of it. Manny, what do you think about the box office take for the film?
That's kind of what we thought it'd be. There's nothing really out there except for Ant-Man and the Wasp. People who are gonna watch Magic Mike's Last Dance have watched it. And the one I was a little disappointed by, which means, I mean, it's just kind of where he's at now in his career as far as films, was Knock at the Cabin, which I thought would do a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Avatar has completely run its course. So
in a whole $6 million, lost 390 theaters, but set in way higher than either of us thought it would be domestically or worldwide.
Yeah. It's still doing its thing a little bit. Surprised that a little bit that, you know, Puss in Boots is still in the top five. Very happy though with the fact that it was still able to overall in its run 166 million.
Yep.
Which is nice. So good kudos to them. Because if you look at Knock at the Cabin, that only did 30. And Knock at the Cabin is even now behind overall. Never mind. Let me make sure that's right.
It lost 1,000 theater screens, man. And it's third week rough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the cinematography in that movie was really good. But it was very linear. And it didn't. I don't know. There wasn't that classic Shyamalan twist, and there's good ideas there. It's just some of the execution and some good acting too, because Dave Bautista is actually far better actor than some people give him credit to. Although this film, a lot of people have come around saying that, you know, he was the best part of the movie, which I agree. But it's, you know, I'm kind of enjoying this whole Ant-Man, quote unquote, dilemma
of and, whether or not it's good.
Well, the thing is, it kind of people are like,
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
I'm having friends going, about 7, 7.5. You know, it's pretty good. I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it. Everything in between. And I was like, oh, thank God people have actual opinions on a Marvel film. And, you know, some people are able to say they hate it. Some people are able to say they didn't hate it. And I hope that it stays that way. Because for too long, I feel like too many people just say, oh, it's good. They almost have that rubber stamp ready as soon as they see the Marvel Studios logo.
Nick gave it an A- for those that didn't catch
it. I watched your guys' review. I was very confused at how he can say it's not, that it's mid-tier and still give it an A.
Because it's Nick Dahl, who his grading system loves
is absolutely atrocious. Marvel. I love Nick, but
we do.
You gotta be a little bit better with your grading.
You know what it reminded me of a little bit? Of course, not as bad, but it kind of reminded me of when Ghostbusters 2016 had come out, and my focus is still a little weird. 2016 Ghostbusters had come out, and critics, you could tell there were many that were afraid to score the movie accordingly to their reviews. They'd be like, "Oh, the writing's sloppy, too much improv, the story this, the characters that." But in the end, I still really, really enjoyed it. A minus. It's like, what? You literally say the only positive thing people would say, I really like the actresses or the characters execute their lines funny, and everything else is a negative, and then you would still give it a relatively high grade. That's what it kind of reminded me of, only Nick's not afraid of backlash for giving it a bad grade, or not a bad grade, but a mediocre grade or whatever.
He likes what he likes, man.
Yeah.
Because even like Gig and Nancy were talking about how they, you know, this was close to them, like almost walking out as far as a movie. And the last time they almost did that was with Eternals, which I agree with them. 100%.
I stopped watching Eternals the first time.
And so
that's how bad that shit was.
But I know, granted, I do have a connection with this film as far as Scott Lang and the dad being a dad and mm-hmm. you know, trying to do things for his daughter, because I relate so much with that film. My daughter does too. There's that bias a little bit with it. And then also I was one of the kids who grew up with like Spy Kids and like that aesthetic. There's some things that were just kind of weird about it, but it's very, very different than anything that they've done. And some of the CG was a little iffy at times. And
yeah, most CGI is these days.
Any other villain in this film other than Jonathan Majors completely, I think, makes this movie a dud. He really did a lot for that movie, especially as when we get towards the actual, you know, crucial part of the film, because it did drag on a bit in the beginning, despite it only being 2 hours. But I think the other thing that I gave it kudos for was the fact that it did, like, okay, the important part of this film is the fact that Kang really comes into play here finally.
Right.
But it really stayed true to an Ant-Man film. If you watched the last two movies, which I didn't really like Ant-Man and the Wasp anyway. I thought Ghost was inconsequential, and
better than Taskmaster.
Yeah, that's not saying much. But it did answer a lot of questions as far as Janet, as far as just kind of looking a little bit more into the current relationship of Scott and Lily, and then Scott and Cassie. Hope. Thank you.
Last name for the actress is Lily.
Oh, duh. I just came back from vacation, so whatever.
Good.
And so, like, it answered a lot of questions. It stayed true to the themes of the films that we've seen, in 1, 2, and 3. So I guess that's why I was like, yeah, you know, I liked it. It was good. It was good. Like, would I put it in my top Marvel films? No, absolutely not. But, you know, it was good. And it's good compared to a lot of the stuff we've been getting lately. Not counting Wakanda Forever or Shang-Chi, yeah. But it's a lot better than some of the other stuff that we've been. And I know we probably get a little backlash for this. I find it more of a complete story than Spider-Man Homecoming. And definitely.
Because it's not just relying on the, hey, remember this?
Yeah, remember this? Yeah, remember this?
Do you remember that? What about this person?
So look, we
changed that person. Yeah. You didn't like that person last time. We changed them a bit. Do you like them now?
Yeah. So take all that away from Spider-Man and like what you don't have anything left.
What is left in No Way Home?
What at least Ant-Man does is it pays off the fact that you've watched two of the movies,
mm-hmm.
and complete some of those, or at least gives you more information on storylines and how Kang, you know, fits into all of that. So that I did appreciate. I watched it in IMAX, and a lot of other critics didn't, as apparently. That's what I was reading. That's what I'm looking at. They just kind of watched it on a regular screen. I literally watched it on one of the biggest screens I've ever seen it on. They have it at the Metreon in San Francisco, that AMC. And the Quantum Realm looks pretty cool on that screen. I can see how on a smaller screen may not have that kind of visual impact. So I understand that. But also, you know, we need to keep in mind that the Quantum Realm, it isn't a real place. So yeah. they couldn't go in and actually film there. but that's okay. So, it'd
be really hard to make physical sets that look like the
something you needed to make up realm. And something that you're not necessarily going to be visiting often, so you're not going to invest that, you know, too much tremendous time on it. But like I said,
at least they got to use the volume for it, which made the lighting, which the movie was very, very dark still to help hide some of the CGI and hide the quantum realm. But the lighting for the characters and not having to worry about lighting and reshoots, and because, you know, all it takes is a few minute changes in the lighting setup during reshoots to cause drastic changes and mm-hmm. things like that. So it was all right. I did want to ask you, we and you never got to really talk about it after I saw the film. I wanted to ask about the post credits. So, ladies and gentlemen, this chapter's mm-hmm. labeled spoilers. After this chapter in the timestamps, no more spoilers for Ant-Man and the Wasp. But here's your get out now, and then come back. The post credit scene, man, that mid credit scene, I had some issues with it. And they're all aesthetics. Do you know when you have a Hollywood movie, when you have a movie and in the movie there's a costume party, right? Halloween party, something. You know, any movie there's been costumes in at a costume party. They usually look better than Spirit Halloween and Walmart costumes, right?
Yeah.
It's a Hollywood movie. Of course, they're using like the costumes that celebrities wear to their parties, right? So that's what all of Kang... Immortus, Ramu Tut, whatever the hell, and Iron Lad or Silver Centurion, I forget which version he is. Why did all their costumes look like a Halloween party costume, like a celebrity's Halloween party costume, especially the Egyptian getup, dude? It was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Did you track it being bad? Did it grab you like that?
Nah. Like, the problem is I don't care about those characters enough to like really like to grasp the severity of it.
It didn't even matter about knowing who they are, just how bad the costuming looked. And then when they're showing all of the Kangs teleporting in, it looks like literally they just, you know, took 100 versions of Majors, told him walk into the volume, didn't put any effort into the world that they're on or the land that they're on. I mean, Thanos's sanctuary in Avengers and Guardians looked better than that. It felt like a really like last minute rushed post credit scene. And I don't know if it was always planned to be, or if they didn't plan on it and they decided to add this, you know, during reshoots. But man, that mid-credits scene it ripped me out on how bad it looked.
I mean, yeah, it's an end credit scene. And honestly, whatever they're doing, they're not going to spend that much time on it. They just needed to give you a flavor of it.
That was rough, though, man. I mean, you could have done the same thing with Nick Fury in Iron Man. You know, you have the three Kangs in their little room, but spruce the room. It's the Council of Kangs. It's not going to look like just this dark room with a like a single light source and a stone floor. There was more they could have done without making it expensive. Still could have been in the volume even. but it was just so, and the costume. Somebody in the comments, please tell me I'm not crazy that the costumes.
It's an end credit scene, man. They're not going to spend that much time on it. I didn't. I'm like, all right, I was more about the context of whatever the message was going to be for that, and obviously, I'm not going to fault them for, you know, the 30-second clip or whatever it was. They're not going to blow the rest of their budget on trying to make it look amazing.
No, it didn't need to be. The costume style's fine, but they needed to be better. And then last question, do you think the Conqueror is dead?
The thing is, I mean, they said he's dead, and obviously they all have a connection together to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're saying he's dead, he's probably dead.
You know what I think?
What do you think?
I think the Conqueror becomes the Beyonder.
Oh, well, yeah, I think I heard you say that.
Yep.
Does that happen in comics too? Or
I
don't know enough about Kang really.
I do not know. So if it does, then I'm not as clever as I thought. The Beyonder.
I'm gonna have to look it up.
I'm doing it right now. Come here, Wiki. Beyonder. Nope. Once known as the one from Beyond. So
So
you could amalgamate them. We know that the Beyonder is going to be a Kang, or at least that's a relatively reliable rumor, the way that I understand. And that would make, because, you know, she talks about how it's a whole Janet talks about how it's a whole universe under our universe. Mm-hmm. We see him get, you know, we know things can get tiny. We know that, you know, what's his name? MODOK survived, and we know Kang is super, super powerful. So maybe going beyond the quantum realm could end up putting him in the beyond realm. And that's what I think. I think the Conqueror does come back the Beyonder.
That can happen. I will tell you that going forward, what this does do to me is my expectations for Secret Wars are way down.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I feel like the Beyonder is probably going to be a Kang.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get X-Men.
Oh, you're still afraid we're not getting X-Men.
No, I'm fairly confident, and I really want to be wrong. I really want to be wrong. And if we get Fox X-Men for this, that is the cheapest way out. Oh, and dude,
you know, not only are you getting some Fox men, but you're gonna get some of the worst Fox men.
and
be prepared for some fantastic.
Well, at least we're getting a Fantastic Four movie ahead of time.
Yeah,
But I don't think it's gonna be Doom, and that's a problem.
I don't know. Did you write it? No, Cam wrote this. The latest rumor deals with the Fantastic Four, and it includes the idea that they will be older and already have kids, Valeria and Franklin. This is something I've actually wanted. I've said for a while, the Fantastic Four should be from the 60s, 70s, 80s. Like, I think 60s, 70s would be really cool. But they need to be from the past. Their experiment causes, you know, them to split off from us. And that, for them, it's only been 10 years. You know, have the kids be young. Mm-hmm. But they've been married. They've been in this separate, you know, part of existence for a bit. They've gotten their powers, whatnot, or maybe they get their powers on the way back. No, they need them there. They've got their powers, and then when they come back into 616, it's been, you know, 40, 50, 60 years here, right?
Yeah.
So you get the combination of the man, woman, child out of water, out of time, mixed with the fully developed already, because it was just time moved differently. I'm kind of excited about that aspect. This is something we've not seen tackled with the Fantastic Four in any outing, going back to Roger Corman's unreleased version of the film. I think you got to go to only comics and cartoons. I don't even know if the kids have ever been in the cartoons. This brings up stuff like Future Foundation and shit even, man. I don't know. I'm a little excited now. What do you think?
I think it's better if they're older, because kind of the same way where some people were kind of like grimacing at the fact that, you know, Batman was going to be introduced already with Damian. It allows you to already have other things in place.
Like Nightwing, you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea. And I agree with it.
Fantastic Four, it's like we don't need to do a whole intro thing. And also, because they're going to need to come in and be such a big deal immediately, you can't have that if we're going to need it, because they haven't gone through, you know, a hero's journey. But in this case, you can say, oh, yeah, this already had all of this stuff already happened.
Dude, and you can even show some. You can even like act one is the launch, the experiment going awry. And a passage of, you know, say 8 years for them. And you go through moments of learning their powers, learning their abilities, interacting with other alien species and stuff like that. And then act two begins. You have the incident that brings them back into our existence. And then you go into everything that's going to happen with them coming back, leading up to your big act three. And I still like the idea that Doom is with them, and he gets booted out of their side early. So it was maybe only 5 years for him, or, you know, half the time that they spent, and he gets to come back a little bit earlier, and that allows him to establish Latveria and his whole situation. And God dang it, man. If I swear we missed out.
This would have been such a good time to do Ultron. Like, seriously.
A real Ultron?
This would have been such a good time to do Ultron, because let's just hypothetically, even if you know, we keep Age of Ultron and the trash that it was as far as an Ultron character, and we add and now obviously he notices that Tony Stark is gone, that Captain America is gone, and Wanda's gone, and so many characters are gone, and all of a sudden he comes back, and these young Avengers have no idea how to handle him, and he becomes that threat, that big giant threat that he needed to be, and then we go to something like Kang in the second in Phase 5. You know,
we are in Phase 5.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is up to Phase 4 could have been.
We could have had
a mini boss, you know.
Yeah.
And then go to Kang. And it would have been pretty. I think it would have been so much better. Instead, we got all these standalone films that to date really have nothing to do with each other. We have a Black Widow film that needed to actually have taken place where Captain Marvel did. I mean, we have an Eternals film that is inconsequential to really anything going on, and a tribute film which was done great for Chadwick Boseman in Wakanda Forever, and Thor: Love and Thunder that really, really took everything good that they did for Thor and undid
it
thing, making
for some admittedly occasionally funny laughs and one really, really good scene with Christian Bale. The scene in the cage with the kids, if we had gotten more of that and some shots of the God Butcher actually butchering gods, the movie would have been more bearable.
Yeah, wasted Christian Bale's time. That was the last thing I want to say. And then you have a multiverse of madness that did finally actually pay off a story that we had been following since Age of Ultron. So that's kind of its own kind of contained thing.
But it was a shitty payoff. I
liked it okay, compared to some of the other stuff that we got. So I mean, what we out of all of these, I got half of them that were, I'd say, very much a thumbs up. And then you have Spider-Man, Thor, Black Widow, and Eternals. And then as far as shows, of course, WandaVision, everybody loved because it was kind of the launching point, but it fell flat at the end. Winter Soldier, which was fine. It just needed to trust its audience a little bit better. And then we have She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel. Moon Knight was okay, but again, like, it kind of was a standalone type of thing. And
awful CGI.
Now it's a matter of, all right, so do we take another pause again and now go to Guardians 3 and that's its own self-contained thing? Or are we going to continue and move forward? That's my next question.
You know, and without spoiling anything, spoilers have been done for a minute, but at the end of Quantumania, I sat there and I thought to myself, there was no surprises. Almost everything that I had read leak-wise was true, unlike some past films that had a small surprise in them that I wasn't tracking. This one didn't. But I was hoping there would have been. I was hoping there would have been something to tie things in from Phase 4. That didn't happen. There were some rumors on how it might be connected, but it didn't happen. And that really did disappoint me, because even though I was against the idea at its core of retroactively connecting stuff in Phase, it needs to happen. Yeah. Something's got to tie Phase 4 to everything else. Something besides just the existence of the characters. So that did kind of disappoint me. But
yeah, I agree with you on that.
I mean, the Guardians, like I've always said, they're in the universe and the universe moves around them, but they themselves don't affect it as much. And I like that. And it's allowed Gunn to tell some really, really interesting stories.
But you see you see certain things as they go through their adventures that are consequential to it.
Yes.
You do end up with Ronan and
interacting with the Thanos,
and then
you've got Nebula and Gamora, which are connected to him.
Yeah, and just little things like that, and then you see like other things that the collector has, and he explained the stones and very little things that you get that are still connected to the bigger story, and I don't feel like we've gotten any of that even remotely here, and I mean, even in the first Avengers film that we got, it was a big explanation on the Tesseract and everything that and why it was important, and then it builds from there and the story gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think it's at the very end of that we see him say, "Fine, I'll do it myself."
Yeah.
So it's like,
which is a canon mistake anyways, because he had to go ask the dwarves to make a gauntlet for him. I headcanoned that moment as in he had a gauntlet, he was going to try to use it and it failed, so that's why he went to the dwarves.
Look, there's been a lot of things that they've done that have been atrocious.
Oh god, yeah.
So it works for story sometimes, but in respect of the comics, I wish some of the names would be different.
Civil War
is one of them, and we'll see. Maybe they can actually improve Secret Wars, because that was, you know, a lot of people don't like that too much. So I know you love it. So
you're talking the 2015,
yeah.
So like I've said, and this gets us back on Secret Wars again, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry, not Secret Wars, Secret Invasion.
Oh,
maybe they can improve Secret Invasion. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Let me change that timestamp to Secret Invasion.
My bad. No, I meant Secret Invasion, not Secret Wars. Secret Wars, I'm already right.
Maybe. I mean, it's the next show, and we still don't have an official release date that I'm tracking. Look, Secret Invasion was a cool idea executed in one of the absolute worst ways possible. And you can only go up as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that I'm not going to be asking which, you know, Cape is or is not a Skrull. And it's going to focus on Fury's, you know, ordeal. I'm optimistic as optimistic can be for me, which is not very for those of you that don't know me. But I am not out of it. As far as I'm concerned, they can only make it better. I don't know. Did you like Secret Invasion, man?
I didn't really care for it. I've never liked stories, period, where there are like hidden, like changelings and things like that. I don't know. There's something about that kind of storytelling that just doesn't appeal to me. That's really it.
I guess. I don't know if that's what it was with me on why I didn't like it. I just felt like it was filled with cliche moments from those who is it or are they, aren't they, things like you were saying, but I don't know if that was the only reason, because you can execute stuff like that fairly well. I mean, one of my favorite horror movies of all time, not that it's an amazing one, but I love it, is the Faculty. And it does, you know, the parasitic creatures that get all dried up whenever you inject them with meth. So you never saw the Faculty?
Uh-uh.
Oh my god, dude! You got to look this movie up. So it's 1990s horror movie, right? And it's got God, what's this? Josh Hartnett. Elijah Wood, freaking Jordana Brewster, Usher's in it.
Usher's in it.
Yes, dude. 1998. I finally got it up for the audience watching. Alien Invasion thing, man. I don't want to, dude. You got to see this movie. It's a Robert Rodriguez film, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm watching the trailer. It's very, very 90s, and I love it.
Yes, yes, you've got to see this movie, man. I loved the Faculty. Saw this movie in theaters in 98 with friends from school. Back when, I mean, in 98, that means I was 13, and it's rated R movie. There on Fort Benning, Georgia, where my dad was stationed at the time. All you just had to have someone over 18 buy
a
ticket.
Back in
they didn't
day.
Have to mm-hmm. didn't have to go in with you or anything. So all of the kids' parents knew what movies we were seeing. You know, horror movie, okay, what's the worst they're gonna see? Some violence and boobs. Yeah, that's about the worst that you see, some violence and boobs.
Woo!
Doesn't that look good, dude?
I have to watch it. Yeah, it might be one of those films that I can watch and just laugh the entire time.
It looks
some of it, maybe it's the trailer itself, because obviously the trailer is going to be a lot more extra, but it looks like some of the things are very, very cheesy.
some of it, yeah, but in a good way.
It could be in a good way, yes.
Body snatchers and stuff like that. So I love The Faculty. It's a fun movie.
But yeah,
and homemade meth is involved. Is it all meth homemade? No,
technically, yeah,
yeah.
Because in a way, yeah. Yeah. So I mean, Marvel, it is what it is now, and I think Ant-Man kind of proves kind of just the quality that that's just it now. We've seen the latest shows. We've seen now the latest movies. That's what we got now. That's the MCU, and that's why Kevin Feige has had to say things like, "Yeah, we're gonna have to slow it down."
Yep.
So.
Yep.
So
yeah,
streaming
caused this. caused the downfall of Marvel, man.
Well, yeah, streaming and the big boss mouse pressuring them to, we need more content for our streaming service. You need to give us more Iron Man.
Yeah, pretty much.
And basically Kevin Feige goes, well, I like my job, so yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, we could do it. Avengers Assemble. And it's like, it's not done rendering. Give it to us, damn it. I'm making this up as I go, man. I don't know.
No, you've got it. You've got it. Anyways.
Yeah. So, but I mean, with all said and done, we could joke and then we could also actually analyze it seriously. I am happy to be living in a day and age where I can get to see these characters and these stories, at least in some format, on my big screen, on my television screen, on my iPad. And
no matter what the future brings, man, we've got that Infinity Saga.
We do.
That is a solid.
We do. We have some solid moments. Set of movies. I think in total, you know, say what we want about how atrocious some of the DC decisions have been too, but we have some great moments just in comic books, period. I mean, we have a, you know, just a kind of a scene from Frank Miller's just watching Batman and Superman fight. We have Captain America with the hammer, you know, doing his thing. We have just a variety of different things. I mean, that Wonder Woman scene where she's going through the no man's land, it's just freaking fantastic. You know, we have tear-jerking moments where Fat Thor is worthy still. That's one of my favorite moments.
Oh, I love that. Trust me.
Yeah.
As someone who's still deals with PTSD, war, whatever. That moment really was like, yes, dude.
We
still are.
And then we have even like the most insane moments from The Boys, and things from like The Walking Dead, with Negan walking around just beating the crap out of people with bats, and you know, that's all thanks to the big two, being able to prove to other studios that comic book movies work. And people needing and wanting to go outside the box to do other stuff. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because comic book movies only work if Marvel and DC are doing their thing. Because you're not checking out Image, Dark Horse, Aftershock, all these other things, unless you're going inside a lot of times.
Did you not see Bloodshot? I mean, I didn't, but...
Yeah, I saw it. I need to support a bunch of friends who are on that project. I'm friends with one of the creators of Bloodshot, so... He's awesome. So yeah, no, like what I'm saying is, the quality may not all be there now, but let's just be happy we have it.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna settle. I'm not happy with
no. We don't have to settle. It's good. I told you in the beginning. I'm very happy to see people going, I don't know, it's not that good, because there was a time and place where, like, on a Black Widow movie, everyone's telling me it was great.
It was great. It was awesome.
It was awesome. Loved it. And it was where?
Like the first film to ever hit kind of like the wall with fans even was Eternals, man. I remember everyone I know personally was, except for maybe Janet. Damn it, Janet. But most everyone I know is just, they're sour on that movie. They do not like it.
It could have done a whole lot of other things with it.
It could have done a whole lot of other things. Just like we could do a whole lot of other things. Excuse me, but we don't. We do this. We choose you, the audience.
Pikachu?
We choose you. And you know what you should do? You should choose to watch more content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, and listen to more content wherever you get your podcasts from on the Genreverse Podcast Network. Great shows, Anime Versal Reviews and AVR Squared Holding Down Anime, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem will be doing the show reviews. Ant-Man and the Wasp did not kill Marvel for me. I'd said that there was a real chance that could potentially happen, where I would only pick and choose a few things to watch, but I will watch Secret Invasion. Nick and I plan to cover that. And of course, Daily Cog, Breaking Geek Radio, The Cantina, get you everything else in entertainment and Star Wars. There's the podcast. Here's the website, lrmonline.com. Written reviews, celebrity interviews that go on the LRM YouTube channel, news, aggregation, and opinion, pieces, leaks, and more. Manny, Monday morning advice, what you got?
Morning advice, I 100% need to plug our own YouTube channel and say check out LRM Online. Gig Pata has been absolutely killing it at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. We have interviews that he's conducted with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson about their latest movie in Ireland. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but it's phenomenal. I've seen the
Banshees of Inisherin.
Inisherin, thank you. I didn't want to butcher it, and I just let you go ahead and do that. Jamie Lee Curtis.
This dude with the stutter and brain damage, say it.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Is that because I'm Irish? What the,
Kate Blanchett,
what the hell, Manny?
Angela Bassett. Ryan Coogler. I mean, the who's in Hollywood. Gay's got a few minutes with each of them, and it's fantastic. And then also, fan of the show, fan of our show, fan of our site, Christy Caracas. There's an interview I did with him on Ballmasters Rubicon, which hits... Ballmasters 3000, I think. Oh no, Rubicon hits Adult Swim tonight at midnight, and it'll be available on HBO Max the next day. Again, like I said, shout out to him for being able to bring the show back to Adult Swim, and then also just hi, because he listens to us apparently. He actually takes time to listen to us.
Wow, thank you.
So which
thank
is nice. So much. Great to speak with him on the show. It's actually it's great. And so go check those stuff out. I have a few other things coming with Family Karma, which is if you like family. If you like Bravo reality TV, I got a couple people from that show, which was fun. And yeah, and Nancy also has had quite a few interviews as well. But I know he's been helping Gig with these Santa Barbara ones too. So yeah, man, just treasure trove of stuff. I'm happy to be back interviewing, and
All right, guys, that's it. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.